Hare Krishna. I thought while I was here in Mayapur to take some time to read to everybody from Srila Prabhupada's books every evening. And if you all have any comments, you can make comments as we're reading, or you can ask some questions. So we're reading from the Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 30, which is entitled Further Features of Ecstatic Love for Krishna. And right now here in Mayapur, it's 7 o'clock in the evening, so we'll do this for a half an hour. So, of course, here we're talking about something called the Vyabhachari Bhavas. Vyabhachari Bhavas means the ecstatic intermittent emotions that are not controllable by people. So it's good to see the devotees. I don't know, Garuda, you're watching. That's very nice. Anyway, so it's the intermittent emotions that are not controllable. And further, we have read previously about the Anubhavas. We have read about the Astasattvika Bhavas. And before that, the Vibhavas, or the stimulations for emotion. So let's continue. There's the following statement in the Hansa Dutta. One day, when Srimati Radharani was feeling much affliction because of her separation from Krishna, she went to the bank of the Yamuna with some friends. There, Radharani saw a cottage where she and Krishna had experienced many loving pleasures. And by remembering those incidents, she immediately became overcome with dizziness. This dizziness was very prominently visible. This is an instance of confusion caused by separation. Similarly, there is a statement describing confusion caused by fearfulness. These symptoms were exhibited by Arjuna when he saw Krishna's universal form on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. His confusion was so strong that his bow and arrows fell from his hand and he could not perceive anything clearly. Once the Vakasura demon assumed the shape of a very big duck and opened his mouth in order to swallow Krishna and all the coward boys. When Krishna was entering into the demon's mouth, Balaram and the other coward boys almost fainted and appeared as though they had no life. Even if they are illusioned by some ghastly scene or by an accidental occurrence, devotees never forget Krishna. Even in the greatest danger, they can remember Krishna. This is the benefit of Krishna consciousness even at the time of death when all the functions of the body become dislocated. The devotee can remember Krishna in his innermost consciousness, and this saves him from falling down into material existence. In this way, Krishna consciousness immediately takes one from the material platform to the spiritual world. In this connection, there's the statement about persons who died at Mathura. These persons had a slight breathing acceleration. Their eyes were wide open, the colors of their bodies were changed, and they began to utter the holy name of Krishna. In this condition, they gave up their material bodies. These symptoms are prior manifestations of death. When, because of self-satisfaction or dislike of excessive labor, a person does not perform his duty in spite of having the energy, he is called lazy. This laziness is also manifested in ecstatic love for Krishna. For example, when some of the brahmanas were requested by Nanda Maharaj to circumambulate Govardhan Hill, they told him that they were more interested in offering benedictions than in circumambulating Govardhan Hill. This is an instance of laziness caused by self-satisfaction. Once, when Krishna, along with his coward boyfriends, was having a mock battle, Subal showed these symptoms of fatigue. Krishna immediately told his other friends, "Subal is feeling too fatigued from mock fighting with me, so please do not disturb him anymore by inviting him to fight." This is an instance of laziness caused by dislike of excessive labor. In the 10th canto, 21st chapter, 13th verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an appreciation by the gopis of the inertia of the cows in Vrindavan. The gopis saw that the cows were hearing the sweet songs vibrated by Krishna's flute, and they were appearing to be drinking the nectar of those transcendental sounds. The calves were stunned, and they forgot to drink the milk from their milk bags. Their eyes seemed to be embracing Krishna, and there were tears in their eyes. This is an instance of inertia resulting from hearing the transcendental vibrations of Krishna's flute. When Lakshman became disturbed upon hearing words against Krishna, she remained inert and did not move her eyelids. This is another example of inertia caused by hearing. In the 10th canto, 71st chapter, 35th verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an account of King Yudhisthira's bewilderment after his bringing Krishna into his home with the greatest respect. King Yudhisthira was very much bewildered because of his transcendental pleasure at having Krishna present in his house. In fact, while receiving Krishna, King Yudhisthira forgot himself. This is an instance of inertia resulting from the ecstasy of seeing Krishna. There's another instance in the 10th canto, 39th chapter, 34th verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. When Krishna was going to Mathura, all the gopis were standing behind Krishna, and upon seeing the chariot leaving, they stood there stunned and did not move. They remained like that until the flag of the chariot and the dust thrown up by its wheels became invisible. Krishna was once addressed by his friend thus, "My dear Mukunda Krishna, due to their being separated from you, the coward boys are standing just like neglected deities in the house of a professional Brahmin." There is a class of professional Brahmanas who take to deity worship as a means of earning their livelihood. Brahmanas in this class are not very interested in the deity. They are interested mainly in the money they can earn as holy men. So the deities worshipped by such professional Brahmanas are not properly decorated. Their dress is not changed and their bodies are not cleaned. They look dirty and are not very attractive. Actually, deity worship should be done very carefully. The dress should be changed daily, and as far as possible, there should be ornaments. Everything should be so clean that the deity is attractive to all visitors. Here, the example is given of the deities in the house of a professional Brahmana, because such deities are not at all attractive. The friends of Krishna in the absence of Krishna were appearing like such neglected deities. When Radharani was first introduced to Krishna, she felt very bashful. One of her friends addressed her in this way, "My dear friend, you have already sold yourself and all your beauty to Govinda. Now you should not be bashful. Please look upon him cheerfully. One who has sold an elephant to another person should not make a miserly quarrel about selling the trident which controls the elephant. This kind of bashfulness is due to a new introduction and ecstatic love with Krishna." The heavenly king Indra, upon being defeated in his fight with Krishna for the possession of the Parijata flower, became very bashful because of his defeat. He was standing before Krishna, bowing down his head when Krishna said, "All right, Indra, you can take this Parijata flower. Otherwise, you will not be able to show your face before your wife, Sachi Devi." Indra's bashfulness was due to defeat. In another instance, Krishna began to praise Uddhava for his various high qualifications. Upon being praised by Krishna, Uddhava also bowed down his head bashfully. In the Harivamsa, Satyabhama, feeling slighted by Rukmini's high position, said, "My dear Krishna, the Raivataka mountain is always full of spring flowers, but when have I become persona non grata to you? What is the use of my observing them?" This is an instance of bashfulness resulting from being defeated. There's the symptom of ecstatic love known as concealment, or trying to hide one's real mental condition by externally showing another attitude. In this state of mind, one tries to hide his mind by looking away in different directions, by unnecessarily trying for something which is impossible, or by using words which cover one's real thoughts. According to the acharyas, expert in the study of psychological activities, these attempts at hiding one's real affections are another part of ecstatic love for Krishna. In the 10th canto, 32nd chapter, 14th verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami states, My dear Krishna, the gopis were always beautiful and decorated with confidential smiles and alluring garments. In their movements intended to give impetus to lusty feelings, they would sometimes press Krishna's hand on their laps, and sometimes they would keep his lotus feet on their breasts. After doing this, they would talk with Krishna as if they were very angry with him. This is another instance of this concealment and ecstatic love. When Krishna, the supreme joker, planted the Parijata tree in the courtyard of Satyabhama, Rukmini, the daughter of the king Vidarbha, became very angry. But due to her natural gentle behavior, she did not express anything. No one could understand Rukmini's real mental condition. This is an instance of competitive concealment. There's another instance in the first canto, 11th chapter, 28th verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. After entering Dwarka, Krishna was received in different ways by different members of his family. Upon seeing their husband from a distance, the queens of Dwarka immediately embraced him within their minds and slowly glanced over him. As Krishna came nearer, they pushed their sons forward to embrace him. Others were trying out of shyness not to shed tears, but they still could not keep the tears from gliding down. This is an instance of concealment caused by shyness. On another occasion, when Srimati Radharani thought that Krishna was involved with another woman, she addressed her friend in this manner, "My dear friend, as soon as I think of Krishna, the coward boy, attached to some other woman, I become stricken with fearfulness and the hairs of my body stand up. I must be very careful that Krishna will not see me at such times." This is an instance of concealment caused by shyness and diplomatic behavior. It has been stated, although Srimati Radharani developed a deep loving affection for Krishna, she hid her attitude in the core of her heart so that others could not detect her actual condition. This is an instance of concealment caused by gentleness. Once when Krishna and his coward friends were enjoying friendly conversation, Krishna began to address his associates in casual language. At that time, Krishna's servant, Putri, was also enjoying the conversation, but then, remembering his position of servitude, Putri bowed down before his master, and with great respect and control, he stifled his smiling. This subdued smiling is an instance of concealment caused by a respectful attitude. There are many symptoms of ecstatic love caused by remembering Krishna. For example, one friend of Krishna informed him, "My dear Mukunda, just after observing a bluish cloud in the sky, the lotus-eyed Radharani immediately began to remember you. And simply by observing this cloud, she became lusty for your association." This is an instance of remembering Krishna and ecstatic love because of seeing something resembling him. Krishna's bodily complexion is very similar to the bluish hue of a cloud, so that simply by observing a bluish cloud, Srimati Radharani remembered him. Of course, that's called a vibhava. Vibhava means that which stimulates an emotion. And, of course, there's alambana and udipana. Alambana means directly Krishna. Udipana means things that remind you of Krishna, like a peacock feather or, in this particular case, a bluish cloud. One devotee said that even when he was not very attentive, he would sometimes, seemingly out of madness, remember the lotus feet of Krishna within his heart. This is an instance of remembrance resulting from constant practice. In other words, devotees who are constantly thinking the lotus feet of Krishna, even if they are momentarily inattentive, will see the figure of Krishna appearing within their hearts. Madhumango was an intimate friend of Krishna coming from the Brahmin community. Krishna's friends were mostly coward boys belonging to the Vaishya community, but there were others who belonged to the Brahmin community. Actually, in Vrindavan, the Vaishya community and the Brahmin community are considered prominent. This Madhumango one day addressed Krishna in this fashion. "My dear friend, I can see that you are not aware of the peacock feathers that are falling on the ground, and at the same time you are unmindful of the flower garlands which are offered to you. I think I can guess the reason for your absent-mindedness. When I see your two eyes flying over to the eyes of Srimati Radharani just like black drones flying to lotus flowers. This is an instance of an argumentative suggestion in ecstatic love. Once while Krishna was walking, one of the associates of Radharani told her, "My dear friend, do you think that this walking personality is a tamal tree? If he is a tamal tree, then how is it possible for him to walk and be so beautiful? Then this personality might be a cloud. But if he's a cloud, then where is the beautiful moon within? Under the circumstances, I think it may be granted that this person is the same enchanting personality of Godhead, by whose flute vibration the three worlds are captivated. He must be the same Mukunda who is standing before Govardhan Hill." This is another instance of an argumentative presentation of ecstatic love. In the 10th canto, 29th chapter, 26th verses, Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna asked all the gopis to go back to their homes, they did not like it. Because of their grief at this, they were sighing heavily, and their beautiful faces appeared to be drying up. In this condition, they remained without making a sound. They began to draw lines on the ground with their toes, and with their tears, they washed the black ointment from their eyes onto their breasts, which were covered with red kumkum powder. This is an instance of anxiety and ecstatic love. One of the friends of Krishna once informed him, "My dear killer of the demon Mora, your kind and gentle mother is very anxious because you have not returned home, and with great difficulty she has passed the evening constantly sitting on the corridor platform of your home. It is certainly astonishing how you could forget your mother while you were off somewhere engaged in your playful activities." This is another instance of deep anxiety and ecstatic love. When Mother Yashoda was very anxiously waiting for Krishna to return from Mathura, Nanda Maharaj gave her this solace, "My dear Yashoda, please don't be worried. Please dry your beautiful lotus-like face. There's no need for you to breathe so hotly. I will go immediately with a Krura to the palace of Kamsa and get your son back for you." Here is an instance of anxiety and ecstatic love caused by Krishna's awkward position. In the Vaishakha Mahatmya section of the Padma Purana, a devotee states that though in some of the 18 Puranas the process of glorifying Lord Vishnu is not mentioned, and the glorifying of some demigod is offered, such glorification must be continued for millions of years. For when one studies the Puranas very scrutinizingly, he can see that ultimately Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is an instance of ecstatic love developed out of thoughtfulness. In the 10th canto, 68th chapter, 30th verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an account of Rukmini Devi's writing a letter to Krishna requesting him to kidnap her before her marriage to another person. At that time, the specific attachment of Rukmini for Krishna was expressed by Rukmini as follows: "My dear Lord Krishna, your transcendental glories are chanted by great sages who are free from material contamination, and in exchange for such glorification, you are so kind that you freely distribute yourself to such devotees. As one can elevate oneself simply by your grace, so also by your direction alone, one may be lost to all benedictions under the influence of eternal time. Therefore, I have selected your lordship as my husband, brushing aside personalities like Brahma and Indra, not to mention unhappy." This is an instance of thoughtfulness and ecstatic love. When a person is fully satisfied due to attaining knowledge transcending all distress or achieving his desired goal of life in transcendental devotional service to God, at that time his state of endurance or steady mind is called dhriti. At this stage, one is not perturbed by any amount of loss, nor does anything appear to be unachieved by him. According to the opinion of Bhartrihari, the learned scholar, when a person is elevated to the stage of endurance, he thinks as follows: "I do not wish to be a highly posted government servant. I shall be satisfied even if I have to eat food collected by begging. I shall prefer to remain naked without proper dress or garments. I shall prefer to lie down on the ground without any mattress. And despite all these disadvantages, I shall refuse to serve anyone, not even the government. In other words, when one is in ecstatic love with the personality of Godhead, he can endure any kind of disadvantages calculated under the material concept of life. Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna, used to think, "In my pasturing ground, the goddess of fortune is personally present, and I possess more than 100,000 cows, which loiter here and there. And above all, I have a son like Krishna, who is such a powerful, wonderful worker. Therefore, even though I am a householder, I am feeling so satisfied. This is an instance of mental endurance resulting from the absence of all distress." In another instance, a devotee says, "I am always swimming in the nectarian ocean of the pastimes of the personality of Godhead, and as such, I have no more attraction for religious rituals, economic development, sense gratification, or even the ultimate salvation emerging into the existence of Brahman." This is an instance of the mind's endurance due to achieving the best thing in the world. The best thing in the world is absorption in Krishna consciousness. It is described in the Vishnu Purana that when a crore came to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, just by seeing their faces, he became so cheerful that all over his body there were symptoms of ecstatic love. This state is called happiness. It is stated in the 10th canto, 33rd chapter, the 12th verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, upon seeing that Krishna's arm was placed on her shoulder, one of the gopis engaged in the rasa dance became so ecstatically happy that she kissed Krishna on his cheek. This is an instance of feeling happiness because of having achieved a desired goal. In the 10th canto, 71st chapter, 29th verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, when Krishna first came from his kingdom, Dwarka, to Indraprastha, the young females of the city became so eager to see him that even at night when they were lying down with their husbands, they could not restrain their eagerness. Even though they were not properly dressed and although their hair was loose and there were many household duties to perform, they still gave up everything and immediately went into the street to see Krishna. This is an instance of eagerness of ecstatic love. In his book, Stavavali, Srila Rupa Goswami has prayed for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, who was so captivated by the flute vibrations of Krishna that she immediately asked information of his whereabouts from the residents in the Vrindavan forest. Upon first seeing Krishna, she was filled with such ecstatic love and pleasure that she began to scratch her ears. The damsels of Braj and Radharani were very expert in talking cunningly, so as soon as they saw Krishna, they began their talkings, and Krishna, pretending to go for some flowers for them, immediately left that place and entered into a mountain cave. This is another instance of eager, loving exchanges on the parts of both the gopis and Krishna. When Krishna was fighting with the Kaliya snake by dancing on his heads, Kaliya bit Krishna on the leg. At that time, Garuda became infuriated and began to murmur, "Krishna is so powerful that simply by his thundering voice, the wives of Kaliya have had miscarriages. Because my lord has been insulted by this snake, I wish to immediately devour him. But I cannot do so in the presence of my lord, because he may become angry with me." This is an instance of eagerness to act in ecstatic love as a result of dishonor to Krishna. When Shishupala objected to the worship of Krishna in the Rajasuya arena at the sacrifice organized by Maharaj Yudhisthira, Nakula, the younger brother of Arjuna, said, "A person who cannot tolerate the worship of Krishna is my enemy and is possessed of a demonic nature. Therefore, I wish to strike my left foot upon his broad head just to punish him more strongly than the wand of Yamaraj." Then Nakula began to lament like this, All auspiciousness to Lord Krishna. I am so surprised to see that the condemned descendants of the Kuru dynasty, who so unlawfully occupied the throne of the Kuru kingdom, are at the same time criticizing Krishna with diplomatic devices. Oh, this is intolerable. This is another instance of eagerness caused by dishonor to Krishna. In the Vidagdha Madhava, Kutila, a sister-in-law of Radharani, began to criticize Krishna in this way, "Krishna, you are standing here, and Radharani, who has just been married to my brother, is also standing here. Now I know both of you very well, so why should I not be very anxious to protect my sister-in-law from your dancing eyes?" This is an instance of dishonorable words used to indirectly criticize Krishna. Similarly, some of the gopis once began to address Krishna with these dishonorable words. "My dear Krishna, you are a first-class thief, so please leave this place immediately. We know you love Chandravali more than us, but there is no use in praising her in our presence. Kindly do not contaminate the name of Radharani in this place." This is another instance of dishonorable words cast upon Krishna in ecstatic love. There is another statement in the 10th canto, 31st chapter, 16th verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. When all the gopis came out of their homes to meet Krishna in the Vrindavan forest, Krishna refused to accept them and asked them to go home, giving them some moral instruction. At that time, the gopis began to speak as follows. "My dear Krishna, there is extreme distress in being out of your presence, and there is extreme happiness in simply seeing you. Therefore, we have left our husbands, relatives, brothers, and friends, and have simply come to you, being captivated by the sound of your transcendental flute. O infallible one, you had better know what is the reason for our coming here. In plain words, we are here simply because we have been captivated by the sweet sound of your flute. We are all beautiful girls, and you are so foolish that you are rejecting our association. We do not know anyone other than yourself who would miss this opportunity to associate with young girls in the dead of night. This is another instance of indirect insults used against Krishna and ecstatic love." In the Pajavali, one of the friends of Radharani once addressed her thusly, "My dear friend, please do not be too puffed up because Krishna has decorated your forehead with his own hand. It may be that Krishna is yet attracted by some other girl. I see that the decoration on your forehead is very nicely made, so it appears that Krishna was not too disturbed in painting it. Otherwise, he could not have painted such exact lines. This is an instance of indirect dishonor caused by Radha's good fortune." In the 10th canto, 30th chapter, 26th verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the following statement. When the gopis were searching for Krishna and Radha after the Rasa dance, they thus began to speak amongst themselves. "We have seen the footprints of Krishna and Radha on the ground of Vrindavan, and they're giving us great pain because Krishna is everything to us. But that girl is so cunning that she has taken him away alone and is enjoying his kissing without sharing him with us. This is another instance of casting dishonorable words against Krishna and Radha, pouting over the good fortune of Srimati Radharani." Sometimes when the coward boys used to play in the forest of Vrindavan, Krishna would play on the other side and Balaram would play on another. There would be competition and mock fighting between the two parties, and when Krishna's party was defeated by Balaram, the boys would say, "If Balaram's party remains victorious, then who in the world can be weaker than ourselves?" This is an instance of envy and ecstatic love. In the 10th canto, 52nd chapter, 33rd verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Rukmini addresses a letter to Krishna as follows. "My dear unconquerable Krishna, my marriage day is fixed for tomorrow. I request that you come to the city of Vidarbha without advertising yourself. Then have your soldiers and commanders suddenly surround and defeat all the strength of the king of Magadha, and by thus adopting the methods of the demons. Please kidnap and marry me. According to the Vedic system, there are 8 kinds of marriages, out of which one is called Rakshasa Vivaha. Rakshasa Vivaha refers to kidnapping a girl and marrying her by force, and is considered to be a demonic method. When Rukmini was going to be married to Shishupal by the choice of her elder brother, she wrote the above letter to Krishna requesting him to kidnap her. This is an instance of an impudence and ecstatic love for Krishna. One of the gopis said, "May Krishna's sweet flute be washed away by the waves of the Yamuna and let it fall into the ocean. The sweet sound of that flute is so impudent that it makes us lose all composure before our superiors." So that's today's reading. We want to thank everybody for joining us. And let's see, we just mentioned some of the devotees. Of course, there's Garuda, Guruman, Tulsi Mandri, Prema Mandri, some of the non-devotee names I don't recognize. Leela Shakti, Gopal, Pearl, Bilu, Rishikesh, Moi, Alambika, Kati, Damodar Priya, Hayasha. Divinatailila, Ilavalasani, Sudharma, Yogeshwara. So thank you all. Thank you all for watching, and we're going to try to do this every evening as an example for the devotees to understand how important it is to regularly read Srila Prabhupada's books. If you regularly read Srila Prabhupada's books, you'll always be in contact with Srila Prabhupada, you'll be pleasing Srila Prabhupada, and ultimately this will keep our movement together focused on His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So everyone should know about Srila Prabhupada, should know his personal biography, history, know about his mission, and be focused on his mission. These are very important points if we want to keep Srila Prabhupada's movement together. Okay, thank you very much. It is 7:30 here in Sridhar Mayapur. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.